Hello, I'm Stu Sensei, and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast, the place that helps you unlock your English ability. Let's crack on with the show. Hello and welcome to the Stu Sensei English Podcast with me, Stu Sensei. Today we are lucky enough to have Tom back from the Thinking in English Podcast. We are going to be talking about whether it's important to use all the vocabulary within the English language, specifically idioms, slang and phrasal verbs. Let's go. As someone who's lived in Japan for quite a long time, I don't know if you've experienced the same thing as me, but for me, a lot of people, when they first hear me speak, they immediately think I'm Australian. Have you ever experienced that?
No, people tend to assume I'm British. I think my accent is different to yours.
Yeah, definitely so.
Slightly more. When I was younger, I had a stronger accent. When I was living, I'm from Milton Keynes in the UK, which most people probably have not heard of, but they don't have a particularly strong accent in Milton Keynes anyway. It's quite a varied place with lots of different accents. So when I went to university and then when I moved to Japan, my voice has steadily become more and more, not neutral is not the right word, but more and more standard, I'd say. And I tend to not use regional vocabulary, or I don't use too many idioms when I'm speaking. It's just the way I approach communication.
Why do you do that? Why is that your approach? In terms of not using idioms or regional slang, because I have an opinion on that, and we'll go into it afterwards. What's that your philosophy for? Well,
there are obviously some idioms and metaphors that I do use. Of course, I've used a few in this podcast. I used hit and miss and some other things as well. But generally, I have existed in an academic world for the last, since 2013, when I enrolled as an undergraduate student. And you shouldn't use a lot of phrasal verbs or idioms in academic writing. I spend a lot of my time reading academic books, writing academic papers, talking and communicating with professors. And in this world, you don't use informal language. Phrasal verb, there are some academic phrasal verbs, but you're supposed to use the single formal word instead of the phrasal verb. And in idioms, right, if you're writing an academic paper about, I don't know, the philosophy of ancient Greece, and you start using idioms about animals in your paper, it's going to stick out. It's not going to fit with the flow. And some professors, especially if you go to a top university where your professors were educated at Harvard, Oxford, Cambridge, they will often mark you down for using incorrect grammar, because it's not correct, right? Using these idioms is not formal English, and when you're writing formally, you're not supposed to use them. So I think naturally anyway, I just don't tend to use these kinds of metaphors and idioms when I'm speaking. I prefer to use more simple vocabulary, I guess.
Why do you think in the academic world, idioms or phrasal verbs are seen as incorrect? It's not the right word. Why do you think that they're seen as unnecessary using the language?
To use a phrasal verb, frowned upon, right?
Frowned upon. Yeah. I don't want to say that, but you kind of, yeah.
Yeah, well, because I'll go, there is an essay written by George Orwell called Politics and the English Language. And at the end of this essay, he gives 6 rules to follow for language writing, how to write well. And Orwell is a good writer. His writing is very clear. So if you want to write clearly, there's a good set of rules to follow. And one of the key rules he says is, if you can write it simpler, write it in the simplest form possible. If using a 2-word phrasal verb or a 5-word idiom, when you can use a powerful adjective instead or a powerful single word, it's better to use the single word. It's better to cut words out. And metaphors and idioms are also cliche. right? They are overused. So another one of Orwell's rules is if you have seen a turn of phrase written in published media, right? So if you have read a book where it's included the idiom, it's raining cats and dogs, that idiom is so used that its meaning is now non-existent, right? When it was first made, in the phrase raining cats and dogs, when it was first made, it had this powerful image. It, you know, the rain is so heavy that it sounds like cats and dogs are howling and screaming outside. But now when we hear that phrase, oh, it's raining, it doesn't have that image anymore. So Orwell said, don't be scared of using a metaphor or an idiom. Well, not an idiom, but don't be scared of using a metaphor, but just make your own. Make your own, conjure, you know, be creative and use your own powerful words rather than just borrowing some stagnant old English from someone else. And of course, there are idioms that I do use. I'm sure I've used 20, 30 in this podcast already. But in writing, they're weak. Is in the simplest way I can say it, that they're, when you're writing a book, and if you just fill it full of idioms, if you're writing a story, it's filled full of idioms, it's just weak writing. It's not creative.
Convoluted as well.
No? Yeah, convoluted. And it doesn't always fit with what you're writing, right? If you're trying to write as formally as possible, and then you use in the podcast I recorded with Stu, we talked a bit about like social media posts and how people promote idioms a lot on Instagram and on Twitter, which is fine. But if you were to use some of those idioms in your master's thesis, it wouldn't be in place. It would feel out of place. Which is the issue. And I'm of the strong opinion that I shouldn't promote something I don't use, right? And if I try not to teach words I don't use in my personal life, right? So I don't really do many regional idioms because that's not something I use, I guess.
Sure. No, that makes a lot of sense. Because my theory or my belief on it is that and I do teach some slang and idioms, and
of course,
and because of depending on the market, target market, it all really depends on that kind of thing, doesn't it? But many of my students are moving to the UK or in the UK, but I do personally believe that idioms or phrasal verbs or slang actually confuses the language itself when you're speaking with someone, because you can look at something as basic as the word trousers in British English and the word, no, pants is a better word. You can look at the word pants in British English and the pants in American English, just that one word. And that's confusing because the two different locations use it differently. And that's a basic word. Now, if we look at idioms or slang, those are so regional, you know. Definitely. The slang used in Yorkshire is going to be different from the slang used in Devon. So when we talk about spoken language, in my opinion, it's about communication. And does the other person understand? Do I understand the other person? Now, I think it's useful to learn things that you might come up against, but I don't necessarily think it's always useful to use it, because you don't know what the other person knows, and you should always adapt your language to the person you're speaking to. So it's interesting.
Definitely. It's something that I've often told people who've had classes with me in the past, or people who message me on Instagram. I often say that you don't need to learn to use this idiom. And actually, I say, please don't put this into your vocab. Don't put this into your regularly used words. But know it. Know what it means. Because there'll be one day where you'll be watching a movie or you'll be watching a TV show, and someone's going to make a corny joke, and it's going to include, it's going to have a pun, or it's going to be based on an old phrase, right? And you'll need to know this, you know, when pigs fly, right? You'll need to know that idiom, when pigs fly. But you don't need to use it. You don't need to remember. Don't take that part of your brain, which could be learning a much more useful word that you're going to use every day, and put when pigs fly in there. Just have it at the back of your mind if you ever hear it.
When you think of people who articulate well, who comes to your mind? Someone famous.
People who articulate well.
Yeah, so can put across their message exceptionally well.
Growing up, I really enjoyed watching things by Stephen Fry and by Brian Cox, the scientist, not the guitar player. And David Attenborough. These kinds of Stephen Fry is not a documentary, he's a comedian, right? But these kinds of people they spoke not just eloquently, but they spoke creatively. If you hear Stephen Fry speak, and if you read his books, he's written some really good books on, I can't remember what it's called, Moab is something, but he's written some really good books as well. And he writes so creatively. He doesn't use like pre-existing cliches and idioms. He's making his own images, and it's so much more powerful. And I think Brian Cox does something similar when he's talking about space, talking about planets, and he's talking about this complicated subject, but he's able to communicate it to normal people. And that's one of the big inspirations behind my podcast, is I talk about complicated subjects. I take information from academic journals, for example, and I'm trying to communicate it in an understandable way. And I don't want to dumb it down by putting in idioms and by putting in sort of useless words. Instead, I try to explain and maybe remove some of the jargon to help people understand.
That's interesting. I'm a big fan of Stephen Fry, of course. Brian Cox is good. And I also like Russell Brand, maybe a newer form. And maybe that's a more controversial one to most English speakers, I think. But I think he's... language use, it always impresses me, you know. And
Russell Brand's very creative, but he's not the easiest to understand if you're 100%. Not a native English speaker.
Even for me, there's some words I'm like, I get the gist of what you're saying. I've never heard that word before. I get the gist of it, and I just think like just his use is just very, I don't know how to explain it, but those ones that you've explained, it's very very Shakespearean. I mean, it's a big grandiose kind of thing to say, but we think about Shakespeare and how he uses language and how he invented a lot of language for us to use now. And I see elements of that in all of those people that you've described, and Russell Brand as well. So
Russell Brand, I think, is perhaps even a better example of someone who speaks English well, because he was not educated at elite private schools, and he did not go to Oxford and Cambridge, which I'm probably sure that Stephen Fry and David Attenborough might have even gone to the same college at, you know, Oxford, right? And often the British people that the audience, the listeners know, went to elite schools and elite universities. Like so many BBC presenters and actors, Benedict Cumberbatch, Winston Churchill, they all went to the same school. And that's why they all speak in a similar way. Whereas people like myself and like Stu and like Russell Brand and other people with regional accents, we didn't go to these elite schools. We speak differently, and that's okay. It's okay if you speak differently.
That's nice. That's a really good topic at the end. Very different to what I wrote, but I think that's more important because it's something that I'd never probably speak about to many people. Okay, great. Thank you so much for your time, buddy. I'm sorry it's gone over a little bit.
I've got nothing to do today, don't worry. I'm doing nothing in my life, so...
And there we have it for today. That was Tom from the Thinking in English podcast there. You can find his podcast on Spotify if you want to find it, with some great content there for you. He's also on Instagram, so go check him out. And I'll check you out next week. I'll be back again with another episode and look forward to seeing you there. Ciao.